is very relevant and practical for each one of us in our daily walk in this journey here on the earth. The title of my message is A Door That Opens to Abundant Living. Isn't abundant living what we all desire? Living life to the full. So what kind of door will allow us to have that experience in our lives? First, let us pause and think about some doors that we are very familiar with. Doors are among the most common things in the world. There are ornate doors in cathedrals. It's kind of an amazing setup there in that particular cathedral, isn't it? There are steel doors to vaults and banks. There are canvas doors to tents. There are large and small doors of all kinds in vehicles. That's one of the more expensive vehicles. And it's interesting how those doors open and close. There are glass doors to greenhouses. And every other kind of door imaginable in homes. They can be expensive, inexpensive, strong or weak, beautiful or unattractive. But you know, these doors have all one thing in common. They allow entrance into something. One of the most common occurrences of our daily life is going in and out of various doors. Just think of how many doors you may have gone through in a day, and you really don't give much thought to it. Example, just today, you probably went through a bedroom door, a bathroom door, maybe a closet door, your front door, or your garage door, and then you got into through your car door. And that's all before you even left home today. Some of you went through a subway door to get to this church. And then when you arrived at church, you entered our church through the foyer door. And then you walked in through the sanctuary door. And here you are today. And when you leave, you'll go back through all of those same doors once again to get back home. Some doors you'll find are locked, while other doors are open. Some doors even take you to very special places. And the door I would like to talk to you about this morning will lead you to a very, very special place. A place where you can experience abundant living. Now, if I were to sit down beside you today and ask you to tell me what your life is like at this particular moment in time, what words would you use to describe your present situation? In other words, how would you fill out the following blank? Life is... dot, dot, dot. What would it be for you? How would you express it in words? What person has said this? Life is like a box of mixed chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. I think that's a rather interesting way to put it. Maybe that would fit your description. Still others, life is like a rat race. I think at times we all would probably fit into that category. Here's another one. Life is like a bowl of cherries. These things must be going along pretty good. Life is also a series of choices. We're making choices all the time. You're making choice. You made choice to come to the service this morning. You're constantly making choices of one kind or another. For many, life is nothing more than the time spent between birth and death. The drudgery of existence. the boring monotony, monotony of routine, the hope of having enough until the end comes. I wonder how many people have bought into such lies that that's all that life is about. And as a result, have had abundant life stolen from them. Many wonder if there really is the opportunity to experience abundant living or living life to the full. But friends, I want to tell you that such a possibility does exist, even for you. But it is only possible for you if you are willing to go through a certain door. The Bible talks about that door. In the New Testament, in the book of John, chapter 10, which is a passage of Scripture the children were looking at this year in Bible Club, Jesus talks about that door. And he tells us what that door looks like. You see, it's not some man-made physical door. It's a very special door. Strange as it may seem, it consists of a person. Look with me at John chapter 10 and verse 9. Here's what Jesus says of himself. He says, "I am the door." That indeed seems a strange way to describe himself. In fact, you may be saying to yourself, "Well, how in the world does Jesus fit such a description?" And why did he use the door as an illustration of an important role he fulfills within our world? Such a description would be familiar to the people of that day. You see, it's taken from an agricultural setting. It has to do with how a shepherd looks after his sheep. You see, sheep and shepherds were very, very important in Israel. Sheep were mainly used for wool rather than food. This explains why the shepherd would name his sheep. It's not a good idea to name animals you plan on eating. But animals that are going to be around for a while, you're more likely to name them. The special relationship between the shepherd and his sheep explains how the sheep would also know the voice of their shepherd and would not follow a stranger. In fact, sheep would be startled by a stranger's voice and they would run off. Every once in a while, the shepherd would call his sheep just to let them know that he was nearby. The shepherd's job was required constant vigilance and fearless courage and patient love for his flock. He had to always be on guard against wild animals, against wolves and other such predators. There was always thieves and robbers that were ready to steal his sheep. And the shepherd was always seeking to lead his sheep to grassy pastures and beside still waters. Because the shepherd and the sheep spent many nights out in the fields, a sheep pen would be built where the sheep and the shepherd would spend the night. Something like what you see in this picture. These hillside sheepfolds were just open spaces enclosed by a rock wall. There was an opening for the sheep to come in and go out, but there was no actual door of any kind. So how did the shepherd protect the sheep? Well, there's a story told. A story told of an individual who was visiting a certain sheepfold. The shepherd showed him the fold where the sheep were led in for the night. It consisted of four walls with a way in. The visitor asked, "Well, is this where you go at night?" "Yes," the shepherd said. "And when the sheep are in there," he told him, he said, "they are perfectly safe. said, I am the door. He explained further. When the light has gone out and all the sheep are inside, I lay in that open space, and no sheep ever goes out but across my body. And no wolf comes in unless he crosses my body. I am that door. You see the shepherd there in front of that door. So Jesus, by describing himself as the door, was using this ancient example of how sheep were looked after in the pen by the sheep. You see, there are many doors that we go through that do not lead to abundant living, but to our detriment and, in the end, possible destruction. We need someone to protect us from such danger. While we would never call these particular pursuits thieves and robbers, they actually are just that. They, in their methodical ways, attempting to destroy our attempts at living life to the full, as God would want us to live. Where do people often go to find abundant life, but in the end only discover despair, frustration, satisfaction? One is pleasure. Pleasure can take many forms. Now, in the short run, it brings an element of satisfaction, but it's not long-lasting. You won't find abundant living in pleasure alone. In fact, Solomon tried it all. He was the wisest man who ever lived. He came away disappointed when he tried pleasure in all of its different forms. I've heard people say that if only they could take that cruise or retire in luxury or have their fantasies fulfilled in some way or another, they would experience real living. Many people have tried these things, and in the end, they come up empty-handed. Solomon said in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 1 and verse 8, he said, the eye is not satisfied by seeing, or the ear with hearing. Try as they may in the pursuit of pleasure, eventually, you see, the law of diminishing returns takes over. It takes a bigger thrill. It takes a bigger event to bring another high. But you see, none of this is everlasting. Number two, you won't find fulfilled life in performance only. Eventually, workaholics learn that the satisfaction of one job completed is very short-lived. There's a myth that has circulated for years that says success produces real living. The truth of the matter is, once again in the book of Ecclesiastes, note what it says. Ecclesiastes 4, verse 8. For whom am I working? And why am I depriving myself of enjoyment? Man is always working, but in the end, he's never usually satisfied. You won't find a fulfilled life either in possessions or personal property. The one who loves money or possessions is never satisfied with money. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with income. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 5:10, those who love money will never have enough. How meaningless to think that wealth brings true happiness. Solomon said, because he tried that too, he said that too is futile. Have you ever asked yourself, why is it that I have more money than I had before, and yet next, you will not find fulfilled life in gaining a certain status in life. Too often people think that if they receive a certain promotion, or reach a certain status, or live in a certain area, that they will be happy. Interestingly, those people who have reached that position still have not found the secret of the fulfilled life. That's their goal. Next, you won't find the fulfilled life by keeping busy. Some people are really busy they think that by being busy and staying busy, that they'll somehow get a level of satisfaction through that. Yet all they find at the end is a lot of stress. Possibly they get an ulcer. Some of you experienced a heart attack. You see, these thieves I've just mentioned masquerade as givers of life, but actually lead to the unfulfilled life. What's the secret of experiencing the fulfilled life? The key is entering through that certain door that the Bible clearly identifies here in John chapter 10. How does that door fit the criteria for a person being able to experience abundant living? When Jesus Christ claimed to be that door, he spoke of truths which demand our consideration. Consider with me, what is the function of a door? Number one, a door is a means of entrance. Friends, Jesus is the means of entrance into the abundant life. The first step to abundant living is to realize that the thing that will hinder us from experiencing abundant living is sin. Sin was described to our children in Vacation Bible School this week as anything that we think, say, or do that breaks God's heart and makes God sad. Is there anyone who would be exempt from that? I don't think any of us would claim innocence. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In fact, there is none righteous, no, not one. Sin hinders us from becoming part of God's family. The sin issue has plagued mankind from the first day that Adam and Eve disobeyed the one command God gave them in the Garden of Eden. God has made it crystal clear within the pages of the Bible the following. The wages of sin is death, meaning spiritual death, forever separated from a holy and just God. So what is the solution? God provided it when he sent his Son to this earth some 2,000 years ago. He came and he lived among us for 33 years. And during that period of time, he never sinned once. And his death on the cross was the payment for our sins. Jesus died in our place. He was our substitute. The Bible says in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. As Jesus is the door or the way that makes it possible for us to enter into abundant living on this earth, and then when we die, to enter heaven eventually. There are many religions and churches, but friends, there's only one Savior. God has revealed clearly that Christ is the only way to experiencing this abundant life. Number two. Door is a means of separation. To be on one side of a door means to be separated or to be cut off from those on the other side. There's a vast difference between being inside and outside. When the door is closed, it is impossible to be on both sides at once. It is the same thing in the spiritual sense. To respond to the claims of Christ means to turn one's back upon that which is evil and to identify oneself with the people of God. And when Jesus claimed to be the door of the sheepfold, he implied that he would be the great divider of mankind. If we have accepted Christ as our personal Savior, we are on the inside, protected and guided by the Good Shepherd. Number three, a strong door is a means of protection. If we commit our lives to Jesus by being sorry for our sin, trusting him as our personal personal Savior, and as we lean on Him and trust Him, He will provide protection from the enemy called Satan, who would indeed try to destroy us. Number four, the door is a means of exclusion. An open door issues an invitation. A strong door promises protection. But a locked door is something to be feared. The Bible tells us that all people should strive to enter the kingdom of God while the door is open. The time will come when it will be closed. It is a serious and solemn thought. Someday, He who died to redeem sinners will refuse to accept people who have refused Him while living here on planet Earth, and they say no for a long time. One day He's going to return as judge. That should encourage all people to heed the warning message of the gospel. To be on the right side of the Jesus door would be the greatest ambition, should be the greatest ambition in anyone's life. Children's chorus that we sang earlier is a poignant reminder for all of us. One door and only one, and its sides are two, inside and outside. On which side are you? Do you know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior today? If so, then you have the opportunity of living the abundant life, a full life, as you walk with Him daily. And you will have also gained entrance into heaven. In so doing, you also have the protection of a loving Savior from the attacks of Satan and the strength to face the issues of life because you have the Holy Spirit to help you. Without Christ, none of these things can be true in your life. So if you haven't trusted Christ as your Savior, why don't you accept Jesus today? It is the most important decision.